With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
There's an FA Cup fourth round platter for you this weekend, and it'll be Egypt versus Senegal in the AFCON final. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 4th of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Venetian Hantaraja.
Looking around the room to try and figure out who the wit is in town today. Someone's been meddling with the running order very amusingly. How nice is this, guys? Back in a room together.
Great.
Taking the mickey out of each other.
The way you said that is like you were looking all around the studio under the table for some kind of humour today because you're struggling with the people you've got. Is that
I
you
don't
mean?
Feel that at all, okay, Luke good. Moore. I look at you, I see Lord Banter, and I think, strap
oh,
on in.
Oh, good. Don't encourage it, Vish.
Oh, this is the best thing you've ever done. I think.
Was it you who started it or Marcus?
It was definitely not me.
Okay. No,
I wouldn't
Marcus,
presume.
Yeah.
I would not dare to presume. But I'm back after a little trip and I'm feeling footloose and fancy free. So.
I was going to ask how you were because no one really asked how you're doing.
Oh, what? Because I always ask the other people.
Yeah, also because you're in a weird fucking mood today. I just want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I've got sugar in my coffee
I'll
as
be
well
honest.
As being back from holiday.
The next 45 minutes or so, I'm pretty worried about.
Oh, this is the longer one, isn't it? It's Friday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think. Mainly, Vish is just worried about the game.
Yeah, I think so.
As well.
I think I'm worried about the game.
As well he should be. Oh, he's feeling confident, possibly as well he should be. AFCON semi-finals are completed. Cameroon 0, Egypt 0. Bloody hell. Why don't people train at taking penalties, Vish? Egypt it is that go through.
It was a really, really just such an unsatisfying penalty shootout. I don't mind bad misses, but they need to be shared by both teams.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You can't be missing three in a row and ruin it from there. It was, yeah, really quite a shame. And also, if perhaps, though, it was a penalty shootout that game deserved because it was quite tense. Egypt have a bit of anti-football about them. And so,
who'd have thought that from a Carlos Queiroz?
Yeah.
Carlos Queiroz has got all sorts of... Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get onto his red card, but...
Yeah, and so, yeah, maybe that was the ending we deserved, something as meek as that.
I mean, Egypt's penalty shootout record is very strong, but it is... I mean, I wouldn't say I watch an awful lot of Egypt as an international team, but if they're up against that in penalty shootouts, then it's not going to be difficult to record more wins than losses. I mean, it was... like, frankly, just awfully bad. Like, so bad. Like, the Clinton and G penalty was like, I mean...
Oh, that made me so sad.
Yeah, I understand you're in a pressure situation. I understand it's tough, but I want you to at least appear like you want to be there. I think that should be where we, you know, up to and including that, you know what your job is and you've got to do it the best you can in that situation. And he just looked like, I'll just get this out of the way. I'll just get this out of the way. It was like basically a man... who had 15 errands to do in one day, and the least important one he was doing first, like posting a letter to his aunt or something. I'll just do that really quickly. I'll get that done and I'll move on to doing
it. But
important
he throws
shit.
It in the sea.
Yeah, and it was the most important thing.
I was surprised that Vincent Aboubakar before said that he didn't really rate Mo Salah, and I thought that might awaken some sort of beast mode in Mo Salah, but it didn't really, and he didn't in fact have to take a penalty because the penalty shootout was so terrible generally.
He had a chance, didn't he, Salah, which was really unlike him to, it ended up making Onana look really good.
Yeah.
But if you're in the replay, there's a really poor touch from Salah where there was that kind of short back pass.
Yeah.
And Salah went in and Onana was about 50 yards out and Salah could have just gone straight past him.
Yeah.
But his first touch was so poor, it made Onana look like he made a really good tackle when he didn't really. It was just easy to do it.
It was brave, but it could have ended in an absolute disaster. Yeah, Onana's had a pretty weird tournament generally because he was looking particularly shaky in the game against Comoros, for example.
Well, they had a standing keeper.
He did an
impression of a standing keeper at the start of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was just trying to make him feel comfortable.
He's just a good guy.
I think he's a great goalkeeper generally. He's really highly sought after, really highly thought of. And that thing about Aboubakar saying that about Salah is I like it because it's a real low percentage play because it could go either way. And I think it's more likely to go the way that Salah's going to channel that. And ultimately, of course, he didn't score, but they went through, and he's been a really important player in this tournament so far. So it's a bit of an odd one, but yeah.
Wait, you say channel it, but for it to awaken a beast, you then need to have access to the beast, and you've got to, in this situation, pass the beast the ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's been so isolated because of the way that Egypt has decided to shut up shop and done it in a very, very different way. If you think of, like, you want them to be more like Abu Tricker Egypt rather than Hossam Ghali.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And yeah. You're right. And I think what he was able to do, Salah, in the game against Morocco was he was able just to take the game away from them.
Yeah.
Like, so Morocco have got some really good individual players and they're a good team. Then Salah just... he just seems to burst into life, lays on an assist on a plate and scores. And it's like, okay, well, that's the game. And the goal he scored against Morocco, this is one I remember, was he was like proper Johnny on the spot from a parry from the goalkeeper, I think, and just slotted it in. So he obviously, that's what the really top players do. I would have preferred Cameroon to go through, to be honest.
It's got more of a narrative to it.
I'm pulling for Senegal in the final for sure.
Yeah, on the Salah front, he is a 23 goals and 9 assists in 26 games for Liverpool this season. But
yeah,
hey, look,
it's not bad, is it?
You got to get up early to impress Vincent Aboubakar.
Liverpool fans will have to use that to keep them warm when he runs his contract down and leaves on a free.
Speaking of Liverpool,
yeah,
Salah Mané final.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyone fancy Rooney Ronaldo Euro 2004 Redux?
But the thing is, that didn't really affect him at United, did it?
but this one will be really funny. I'm not saying that as a fan of another club.
Can I just say, this reminded me of something. So I was at a 30th birthday party on Saturday, and it was a
30th?
Yeah.
How do you get yourself invited to 30th birthday parties?
What can I say?
Goodness me.
I mean, I don't know what kind of social structure you come from, and to be honest, I don't really want to know, but you're not all put in years.
Yeah, you still have the school year, don't know. I mean, we could invite him, but he was born in July.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a 2000s themed party, and it had loads of posters up on the wall, things that had happened in that era. And one of them was just a still of Ronaldo winking after he got Rooney sent off, right? I didn't have to explain that situation to my American wife. I had no idea about it. And I just remember thinking to myself, God, that was a really odd thing to have to say. That seems almost impossibly quaint now. It was really, really strange. So she was like, okay. And why was that such a big story? I don't know, really. Not really sure. Yeah. Look, there's four footballers' wives on the wall. Don't know about that either.
Enjoy that. That used to be a thing.
So it could be a big deal. Would you like to have a big bust up, a big punch up?
I think it'd be quite funny, wouldn't it?
Does Kiarosh get... I shouldn't ask a question I don't know the answer to.
He's not going to be on the sideline for the final.
He'll get suspended for the final.
Correct. And also his number two, I think, got sent off as well. So
that was genuinely quite
bizarre.
Threatening.
I thought it was just bizarre, wasn't it?
Mael Goma, the assistant, yeah.
Yeah.
Because initially it was on the pitch, it was Tolo and Sobi were fighting a bit or squaring up to each other. And so you're sort of watching that. And then suddenly there's this second yellow situation going on for Kiarosh.
Yeah. Reading people who've been out there covering the tournament, Egypt's behaviour on the sidelines has been disgraceful, apparently.
Right, have they really? Okay,
yeah, but like, this has been coming.
Because I found that Kiarosh's reaction, obviously you don't know what's been said, or I wasn't obviously there, but that kind of reaction from a manager, I do understand if it's like a really dangerous challenge or a really...
It just seemed out of nothing, didn't it?
It was really... And he wouldn't be talked down either.
No.
And the stakes are actually quite high because now he's not on the touchline for the final. That's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, it's not as though Kiarosh has won 5 million trophies as a manager. So I don't understand why he completely lost his discipline. I also think it's a poor example of leadership for his team as well.
It is, yeah. And is it better or worse than the Ecuador game against Peru on Wednesday night when... Gustavo Alfaro claimed that they conceded because they couldn't find a player's shirt. Is that a better or worse experience of like leadership in football, managing to corral your team back into an 11-man sort of situation?
In many ways, I am kind of grateful of the English football break because we've got to look a lot at South America. And South America is a brand of football that just refuses to move on. It just refuses to say, do you know what? We're going to stop fucking doing this now. It's 2022, which is, for me, very, very, very enjoyable. Like, if you're going to see three players chasing a referee off the pitch, you're going to see it in South America. And also, what I also like about South American players when they're playing for their international teams is they get so into it, they'll regularly have fights, and they'll be conscious that their feet are their best weapons. So no one throws punches. They fly kick, they karate kick, kick.
I have a lot of time for that because there's a Carve McGrath element to it where it's basically just survival by survival.
That's all punching in the crotch though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's the way that in fighting, if you did that, someone would be like, oh, that's not very... That's not very noble of you.
It's not very gentlemanlike.
But you're trying to stab me, mate. I'm going to kick you in the balls.
So the situation here, just to clarify, is that their right back was injured and they had only 10 men on the pitch because they couldn't make the sub, I guess, because they couldn't find his kit.
Right. It's not great, is it?
But don't they... I don't understand this.
I think that happens more often than you think it should happen, that a team... It happens quite a lot in the football
people
league.
People are trying to put their shoes on. Who is that?
That happens all the time, though. The shoe thing happens all the time.
Okay.
Also, the shirt thing is that they just don't want to sit there and like...
No, but what I'm talking about is I reckon it happens a couple times a season where a team, say in the Football League, will go to an away game and the kit man hasn't packed the
kit.
Right.
Okay.
And they're like, we have to use the other team's away shirt.
Yes.
If that happens in a derby game, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I know if it's a derby game, it'll naturally probably be close, so you can just go home and get your kit again. But like, imagine if like, you know what I mean?
Dog ate it. I need to go home.
Like Forest v Derby or whatever, and there's no time to go back, and then Forest have to wear Derby's away shirt.
What you would do, that's absolutely do in that situation, is make the away team wear your home kit. Like, no, you're going to wear this.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
And then if you score, you have to kiss the badge. You're not going to get to wear it. They should have to go skins.
Yes.
Sharpie the sponsor on their chest.
Stripped to the waist. Yeah. Skin on skin.
Yeah.
Alfaro said we can't make such mistakes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we can all agree on that.
Fair enough. So yeah, the final between Egypt and Senegal in AFCON, that takes place on Sunday. I'm not quite convinced about this whole Thursday night semi Sunday night final. And I feel like they need a bit more of a...
So it'd be Tuesday, Wednesday, you think it should have been?
Yeah, I don't like Europe.
The answer always now to scheduling of football games is everything all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, so that's true.
Fine. Steve Bruce is back in management, people. He said he might... He teased us, didn't he, Luke? He teased you by saying, it might... His 1,000th game might have been his last against Tottenham, it was.
So I'm compiling a list of the most frightening sentences available in football. As I said earlier in the season, one of them is Jonjo Shelvey starts despite a lack of pre-season minutes. That's definitely one of the most frightening sentences in football.
We had one yesterday, and now all it rests on the former Spurs man.
That's a really good one. Yeah. And this is a new one. Steve Bruce is back in management. That's six word sentence.
It's a poem, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like one of those short stories.
Yeah, and it should be followed by a subtext which says, and everyone reacts by saying, "I hope it's not my club."
And everyone cheered.
But the question, though, we should probably say, as we talked about them yesterday, is West Bromwich Albion. Do you think they'll be bringing cabbages to the Hawthorns, Vish?
Why?
Do you not remember that? Someone lobbed at the end of, when he was a Villa boss, someone lobbed, I can't remember the game, it was actually like a draw. Or so, I think it was looking at like Preston, someone like that. Yeah. And someone lobbed a cabbage at him.
It does ring a bell.
And then he had to, I don't know if there's footage, but for some reason, the cabbage really stuck with me, partly because aesthetically, there is a similarity.
I wouldn't defend that behaviour.
No.
So you're saying if someone throws a vegetable or fruit at you, as long as it looks like you, it's fine.
It's a loophole. Yeah. It's a loophole, yeah.
It's some extension.
And then has to pick it up and he's initially angry and then has to go...
And then start doing his hair.
Oh, Jesus. Looking at it. It's Jesus. Jesus is in this cabbage. Yeah. That's what he should have done.
It feels like, though, this is... We should talk about Championship Bruce and Premier League Bruce because because he's won four promotions from the Championship. Evidently, when he manages in the Premier League, he's only thinking about not getting relegated because of the size that he is with, whether it's the ones he's taken to promotion or, for example, in the case of Newcastle, where he was, his ambitions were found out to an extent because he basically just had to tread water when Newcastle fans didn't want that, but the owner was happy with that. This is quite a smart appointment. I quite like the fact that he's having been Sunderland boss and then Newcastle boss and then Villa boss and Birmingham boss, he's trying to tick off all these different rivalries.
It's fair to say he's the world's first agnostic football manager.
Yeah, exactly.
He's kind of aware of rivalries, but he just needs to see more evidence for their existence.
Yeah. He's a bit like Ross Kemp. He's just going into these games. But like, you hate them, do you? Well, have a look over there. Yeah.
So his first team talk is just everyone with balaclavas on. And him talking to them through an interpreter.
Just grab me the gun. No, why? Put it down. No. You going to shoot me?
Yeah. You're right to say that he has some success in the Championship. It would be far...
That's a lot of success. You can't play that down.
It is, but it's not that recent.
He manages up in both ways.
Nice. What does that mean?
Don't wink when you say that.
Yeah. I didn't wink.
It's really sinister.
Ugh. I didn't wink. I wasn't channeling Ronaldo.
This is why you're not allowed near 30-year-olds with that kind of behaviour.
That's why you didn't get invited to that party.
I was away having fun.
Yeah.
With people your own age.
Your boyfriend goes to another school, it's fine. You wouldn't know him.
Really tall, though. Ripped. It was just a reference. Now I've explained it. You made it all shit. It was just a reference to the fact that he manages the chairman and people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
and he's
right.
Managing up the table.
If I can make a semi-serious point, it would be this. It depends how much he's been damaged by that experience at Newcastle United, which, joking aside, you know, was probably quite traumatic. Very, very all... I imagine it's all-consuming for his life, given his, you know, the fact that he's, you know, the background he's got and all the rest of it, and the fact that he was... You know, the very least, he was managing on about five different fronts because he probably felt quite alone and with a lack of support because of the hands-off nature of the chairman and because all the fans were vociferously against him. I was actually surprised to see that he was in the running to do another job. I thought he wanted to take some time out. Clearly, he's one of these people who wants to stay busy and all the rest of it. But his most recent job in terms of his win percentage and stuff like that was the worst he's done. Mm. So, I mean, it will be... I think it's quite an odd appointment, personally. I think it will disappoint West Brom fans as well.
He has been a guy who has taken time. Do you remember? Because it was, I think, when he finished the Villa job, it was when his parents had perhaps died, and he did take the time, and he was like, I'll take this job, but I'm going to go on a family holiday before that. Or something.
He went to watch the cricket in the Caribbean in 2019 before he took the job.
He had a really difficult time of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, but it does sound like that he is someone who takes it into account, and he has got his son in his backroom staff.
Good. And we've been balanced on the show of him, haven't we? Some of us have been reasonable, and some of us, when asked for a response, like Pete, have said, how would you like to commemorate Steve Bruce's 1,000th match in charge? Oh, no. He responded by saying, he's a little fatty and I don't want him there. So, you know, there's the broad church of opinions about Steve Bruce, and I think it's fair that we make that clear.
Now, let's discuss something that we talked about on Wednesday in connection with Raith Rovers and their signing of David Goodwillie. The update is that he will not play for Raith Rovers, and the club is reviewing his contract after admitting it got it wrong by signing him. Mm. Now, the conversation we had on Wednesday was around the fact that he had been signed despite the fact that a judge had ruled him to be a rapist and he had paid damages towards his victim back in 2017. Very high-profile supporters of the club, in particular crime writer Val McDermid, said she was going to stop supporting them on the back of this. And subsequently, there was this sort of not great statement released by Raith Rovers. And since then, now they've changed their mind. What do we make of this? Because in the end, the outcome is probably the best outcome for the club, for everyone connected with the club. But as Van McDermott said, the same people who made the decision are still in charge. Those who love and value the club are still on the outside. They need to be on the inside, shaping the future for the community.
Yeah, I mean, the club have shown their colours, really, haven't they? They would have known everything with David Goodwillie's backstory. They would have known the blowback they were going to get from signing him. They were only focused.
They might not have, actually.
No, I don't believe that. I think they...
Because he was playing for Clyde.
Sure,
and he was club captain there. He played for them for many years.
Sure, but they would, you know, you would know. And the thing, I suppose, about this industry, and we talk about it all the time in not necessarily positive terms, but it's a phrase we use a lot about how it's a results-based industry. And that was all they were focused on, really. They were just focused on the goals he scored at Clyde. I totally agree with Val here in terms of it's not just a case of having this U-turn because you see that you're basically getting unwanted attention now. It's, you know, people like her, even, you know, the women's team, I think as it stands right now, they're still working towards being a separate entity from Raith Rovers. That might change in the, you know, maybe even today in the next coming week or so. But it's about comfort, isn't it? And people always have a choice in these situations, even in like high pressurized professional environments where they can make everyone feel comfortable, feel welcome, while also striving for excellence that requires a degree more, I don't know, a bit of ruthlessness, I suppose. And they chose an option that many fans will still remember, and I'm sure plenty won't forget.
I think it's a positive step. It's a good thing that fans' voice can be heard, and that decent thinking, decent minded people can arrange for a U-turn of a decision of this nature. But the concern is the level to which decision makers at the club are out of step with just common decency and their fans' own opinions. Because ultimately, you know, look, take the whole situation, put it to one side. To be a successful chairman of a community asset like a football club, you should be in step with what your customers, your fans, the people that you rely upon for the club to exist, and what they think.
Your community.
Your community, exactly. And so to take this decision almost unilaterally and not consider the implications is just at best just really thoughtless, and at worst like quite sinister. So given the context, so I don't particularly buy. I mean, I thought the statement was quite odd because you said a lot of stuff that was actually obvious to any right-minded thinking person anyway. And now ultimately your position is you were going to do a terrible thing, and now you're not going to do a terrible thing. So I don't think you deserve credit for that. The best thing you should do is not do the terrible thing. Mm. And I do think they deserve a certain amount of low-level respect for fronting up and saying, look, you know, we're sorry we got it wrong. Obviously, the imperative is they have to do that because it's not tenable otherwise. But it's the least they can do, but they do deserve a small amount of credit for that. I just think, you know, it's a really exalted position, and it's an ambassadorial position to be a football player. It's a privilege, really. And I don't think for one second that people who get to that level don't work really hard to achieve it. But it does come along with its own kind of social contract as well. So much of our lives publicly is about the intangibles, not about the tangibles, it's about the intangibles. And if you're going to behave in the way that David Goodwillie has been proven to behave, he has to understand that there's going to be some ramifications about that that aren't necessarily based on a fine or based on a custodial sentence, whatever it may be. And he's got to live with that, and that's right. So for Raith Rovers or for any football club to facilitate the rehabilitation of him when he has shown no contrition at all and no chance of rehabilitating himself is wrong. And I'm pleased they've changed their mind. And I don't think he should be playing football at a good level ever again, personally.
The thing is key about what you just said about rehabilitation, guys, because, you know, some people have perhaps gone down a bit of an odd rabbit hole about the idea of rehabilitating him. And, you know, he's a guy who why should he not be able to work ever again? And clearly the important thing is that, you know, if you commit a crime in society, I don't want to sit here and say we should write everybody off if they've made a terrible mistake or if they've committed a terrible crime. Of course not. But Luke, you're right to say this ambassadorial thing. And in the context, which we talked a bit about on Wednesday very well, I thought you guys did, in the context of some of the terrible stuff that's going on in football, some of the famous names who are currently in court accused of rape and various other things.
Yeah.
It's a really odd and sad indictment of the fact that that just seems to have washed over the people in charge at Raith Rovers.
I would broaden it out again as well. Again, I would say, look at, if you've got a minute, take the time to look at the sheer numbers of incidents of sexual violence towards women in the UK. It's an epidemic. And the fact that it's been unreported and underreported is shameful in terms of the media have responsibility to do that, and shameful in terms of the criminal justice system that should be combating it. There are, I mean, if you look at the figures provided by like organisations like Rape Crisis, the amount of reported sexual assaults on women every year in the UK is in the high hundreds of thousands every year. It works out as something like 70 an hour, every hour, all year. So this is a very small part of a wider societal problem. And it's not surprising that football, again, is reflecting society more broadly. Mm. And football should show more leadership on it than it does. But then, really, that's a drop in the ocean, because football should show leadership on a load of stuff that it doesn't fucking bother to. So we shouldn't be surprised by that.
Certainly true. All right, guys, it's time for a break. After this, we'll get to the FA Cup fourth round.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Otra vez, dale, 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 bien, bien, good, 1-0, dale, Victor, come on, Gonzalo, bien, bien, Pizarro, good, good.
I like this kind of work.
Bien, bien, welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's me, Vish and Luke with you this Friday or Saturday or Sunday or any day of the week. You can listen to us. You can listen back to us if you want to, can't you, Luke? That's
yeah,
how
can.
You. That's how you spend your time when you haven't got...
I already knew that. You didn't tell me that like it's the first time I've heard that.
You just
that
your just life is wall-to-wall rambles in the background,
isn't it? Whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely stuff.
I just
stuff.
Choose not to.
Just call us up instead. All right, here are your emails.
If you've got something for us, shoutfootballramble.com.
Yes, indeed.
Oh no, the small plant has fallen over.
Kate, you knocked over the decorative plant.
Is it not real? Oh, look at that! Where's all the soil?
Oh no. I pulled the decorative plant out of the pot. Anyway, it's not real. Because there's no light in here, because we're in a studio. But it's nice to have a bit of green.
The listeners don't care. It's time for an email. Ben has got in touch. Our friend Ben. Hello to you, Ben. Following up on Ollie's email yesterday, Ben says it reminded him of his own experiences of rogue referees.
Yes.
I'll let Ben pick up the story. He says, while at school, a retired maths teacher used to volunteer to referee our Wednesday afternoon five-a-side football. The game got so far away from the traditional game of football that we, as a result, that we renamed it Swain Ball after the teacher Brenda Swain. Notably, a team would have to appeal cricket style for a goal whenever the ball went vaguely near the net. A vigorous appeal following a shot hitting the side netting was just as likely to be given a goal as if you stuck it in the empty net. To this day, I think that a system based on appealing to a half-asleep referee tucked away in the storage cupboard of a sports hall, maybe in professional football this would be a distracted fourth official, would make for a much greater spectacle than the sterile use of goal line technology.
Ah, Brenda, Brenda, Brenda.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say the thing about football is the clarity of that moment, isn't it? The scoring of a goal really is, it
yeah,
really represents
pinnacle.
Football. So yeah. I just love that she's just taken that and thought, nah.
Yeah, if you want that, you've got to show me you want it.
Yeah. I find it really frustrating when defenders appeal for offside.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to do it.
Mm.
And what you're doing is you're distracting yourself from just defending. I don't know why coaches don't say to players, particularly now in the age of VAR, just play. Don't worry about it. Just do your best to defend it because that gives us a better chance of not conceding. If it's offside, they're going to take care of it. Don't worry about putting your hand up in the air.
Yeah, maybe that's being conditioned out of them because of VAR. But I really like the one who does it is always the one that's made the mistake.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's not got the line right. Yeah, yeah. I admire that.
It just feels like it feels like the last roll of the dice to save a relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At the end, the goal's gone in. And you know you've conceded, and maybe in this case you've lost the game. So you just go, put your hand up, offside. It's like saying, I can change. Okay, you are still going to go. Okay.
Luke Moore hates dissent, doesn't he? The defender of referees.
Yeah.
No. That's what you're like. I thought that we, by the way, email us, show at footballramble.com, tweet us at footballramble to get in touch. You know how Marcus did a whole raft of shows this week, and I thought that all of the jingles were Sven related, just to like keep his morale up. Yesterday's not so. Very sad. Let's get to the relegation six-pointer this weekend. Here it is, Saturday at 6 o'clock. Can you cram it in? We'll find out. Burnley.
Is that what Premier League said to the players?
Yeah.
Saturday six, can you cram it in then?
Why are all these teams are playing football except us? What's going to chuck them in there then? Yeah,
I feel so.
I don't know. Saturday at six. that's what the memo said.
Is Burnley going up against Watford's? Oh my goodness me! Roy Hodgson says that he's a lot less confident that Watford will be as organised as their opponents, and to be without two of the goal scorers and top players at the club, Dennis and Saar, doesn't help a great deal.
Well, he's just a sweet talker, isn't he? He just knows how to get you in the mood.
Talking them into action.
I mean, it's an improvement on some of the other stuff he was saying that we had to report on yesterday. Some kind of weird Moby Dick fantasy that he'd developed.
Yeah.
They're not bloody mermaids anyway. They're sirens. Get it together.
Yeah.
He's got a fetish for mermaids. Right. Yeah.
Oh, is that what we're getting out of that?
Probably, yeah. He's of that age, isn't he?
What does that mean? Disrespectful.
I feel like people who are into mermaids are of a certain vintage.
What, you mean it's like the people who have like motivational things on the wall of their house and stuff?
Yeah. Or like, you know, builders with like topless calendars. Like that's of an era, isn't it? It's of a generation.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I see what you mean. And like the way that people were really into Princess Diana, that kind of vibe, like same energy.
Yeah.
Always in our hearts. Can we get back to the relegation?
Roy Hodgson is football's princess.
Yeah.
Goodbye, England's rules.
Yes. You're really buying into that whole concept. Yesterday, I thought it was just a passing phase, you wanting him in a dress, but this seems like it's something that's quite a deep part of your psyche.
I just don't know the situation that Roy got to where he thought, I know he's a very literary man, he's a man of letters, but I don't know where he got to the situation. He's obviously just read like some kind of, you know, tale of derring do on the high seas. And this is in his mind. And he starts talking about mermaids and sirens and rocks and all the rest of it. And now he's saying, I haven't got any confident players, so we're fucked.
Yeah. Sean Dyche says that I have to be careful with Maxwell Cornet because he's only just returned from AFCON. But I mean, in terms of the defence that are going to be offered by Watford, Adam Messina, he's not going to be back, is he? From because he was playing for Morocco. No, so he won't be back. And Danny Rose, guys. No one wants him to play for them.
He's not featuring either.
It's sad, isn't it? Sorry, that's a sidebar, but I think it's really interesting what happened there. It was like trying to get someone who had a bit of ballast and like experience in to shore up their defence, and then he's not broken into the team.
This game could go either way. It could be where a game where both teams are lucky to get nil, or it could be like crazy. And I'm hoping, because it's Saturday evening at an odd time, everyone might tap into that kind of odd energy.
Yes.
It might be a bit full on. It's needless to say, a very, very important game. Burnley have won one game in the Premier League this season, I think, right? So you have to go a long way back to find, with the exception of that game they won at home against Brentford, to find them winning with any consistency. Now, I accept that they've not been given the opportunity to do so, and it's hard to win if you can't play.
You can only beat what's in front of you, Luke.
What I'm trying to say is...
don't need to beat it if you don't turn up.
Everyone's seen so little of Burnley that it's very difficult to have an opinion on them, yes.
But it also feels like they've got a better squad than they did at the start of the year. Not least because, you know, Weghorst for Wood is an upgrade.
Andy said it's a massive upgrade, yeah. So he's a really good taker of chances. I'm surprised Braswell said that's the comeback to haunt him.
Turkey redux.
What is the one thing that happens when a struggling Premier League side sign a striker in a desperate bid to stay up? The striker gets presented with loads of chances, yes, and he misses all of them. So Braswell's stuck his neck on the line there.
But even, you know, I know he's not going to play the whole game, but Cornet back as well, even for a substitute appearance, would be a big boost. I watched Burnley last time out against Arsenal, so I think I'm one of the few people to have seen them play football in January. Yeah.
That was 0-0, right?
It was 0-0, yeah. And Burnley should have lost, actually. Arsenal wasted a few chances. But it did feel like certain players like Dwight McNeil would be glad of a bit of company up top, because it was very much all or nothing on him. One of the things funny, though, because when they started, they were quite chaotic. And then they just stopped scoring goals. So I think they've only scored 5 goals in the last 7 league games, but they'd scored 6 goals in the previous 2 before that run. And it feels like, obviously, you know, Saar not being there and Dennis is going to be a huge problem. But yeah, I don't feel that confident about them now. And I know Brassel said Brassel convinced you, Luke, yesterday that Watford were going to get relegated, and I kind of believe that.
I changed my mind after about 30 seconds.
That was so enjoyable.
Does anyone else, though, have a feel that this encounter between Dyche and Hodgson feels like the battle of one man trying to put the other one in a care home?
That's very disrespectful.
But the way that he's, the way that Daesh is
very
talking.
Very early for Daesh. Bit disappointed with that, Daesh. That's very... about, the bloke's about 51.
No, the
we
other
need
way.
To move
oh,
on.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant like a wrestling match where the loser has to go into a care.
No.
We need to move on to the FA Cup. We need to get to the FA Cup because yeah. This is the whole thing I've been waiting for this whole show.
Okay.
Kidderminster go up against West Ham on Saturday at 12:30. Kidderminster boss Russ Penn, who's a very, as we said at the time, when they first came through, he is a very non-league kind of sounding guy.
Russ Penn's just a great name.
It's just
great name
high quality. He sounds like a hard man, yeah. Mm. He's been keeping an FA Cup diary, further enforcing the idea that they're just here on a sort of jolly holiday. He's going to push the boat. Normally has a couple of cards in the lager with the opposing manager. But he's going to push the boat out and select a bottle of red.
Oh, nice.
Trouble is, I don't know my Malbec from my Shiraz.
Right.
Should he stick
with what you know?
Yeah,
and that's a worry, I thought, for the tactics that he's going to deploy. Stick with what you know, Kidderminster. Don't start trying to play.
I can't believe, Kate.
Tiki-taka against West Ham.
You're criticising someone for keeping a diary. Posh people love keeping diaries. It's all letters and notes and all sorts.
Yeah, and then it comes back to haunt you when you're up in court. And then you get released, and then you can release them as memoirs.
No, exactly. That's how it works, right? That's a legitimate revenue stream for the posh people.
I was going to say, though, shouldn't Kidderminster...
Don't give her a right to a carry on.
Shouldn't Kidderminster Harriers have a sommelier that you could consult? What kind of operation are they running?
National League North team, Kidderminster Harriers. Listen, we're going to have to cut back. You're going to have to go down to one sommelier here. I remember well the FA Cup run they had back in the 90s, and everyone got really behind it. It was amazing.
So they beat Birmingham City, didn't they?
Correct, yeah.
When Karen Brady was, and David Gold were part of the, you know, the management stuff.
It was at St Andrews as well. It got to the fifth round in 94. And everyone was doing this. I mean, I remember, obviously, the TV coverage of football then was very different. But Football Focus did a big, like, kiddie for the cup kind of campaign. And everyone was into it. And people didn't like football that much. Just got well into it, waving flags and stuff. And
because Wimbledon wasn't on. Yeah, right. Bit of time.
Yeah. So I mean, look, if they can replicate that, which I doubt, to be honest.
Luke, come on.
What?
That's not like you.
They're at home. It's on telly, so maybe.
Let's have a lovely time. And they gave West Ham an almighty scare 28 years ago, as you reckon.
They lost 1-0.
All
them,
right. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure Jarrod Bowen think, oh God, not them again.
That was.
I wish we saw the striker.
That was in the fifth. That was in the fifth round.
Yeah.
So maybe one more round to go.
No, Kidderminster fans got in touch with us, and you'd think they would do if they because
really cared about
much.
It.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe we haven't got any Kidderminster Harriers listeners, so we haven't got to worry about it.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
I would give them credit for being called Kidderminster Harriers, though.
Yeah, what? Nice. And maybe they'll be all right because Kidderminster centre back Geraldo Bejarami plays every game with a garlic clove in his sock for good luck.
Where's that come from?
So uncomfortable though.
What he needs are just a clove. Ah, hang on. Is it a clove? The thing that's. Are you thinking of the full garlic?
That's a bulb.
That's a bulb. Yeah.
So just a clove. I think you can stick down your sock very easily.
You watch Nigella every night. You know the difference between a clove and a bulb.
I do not watch Nigella every night. Our patrons will know if you listen to the most recent Ramble On that I only recently learned how to stop giving myself food poisoning.
Yeah, no, so. I've been to your house for dinner, so I don't know.
You stop giving yourself food poisoning.
I'm only joking. It was very lovely.
Subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah.
Fellow non-league side Boreham Woods are heading to Bournemouth. That's on Sunday at 6:30. Another classic kickoff time.
I don't mind if it's in the cup because in cup you've got a bit of license to. Yeah.
I quite like a Sunday late afternoon situation.
You walk into the living room and you flick on the telly at 6:30 on a Sunday.
But these guys got to go to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
That's quite a long way from Boreham Wood.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big cup game for them, Kate. I'm sure they'll be interested. I'm sure they'll be looking forward to it.
Do you think they're looking at the community and like, oh, I can't, my young person's
rails
can't
play.
They might start work
early on Monday. It might not be very convenient for them. But if it's fine for you, Luke, and you're just popping in to watch it on ITV4, that's fine.
The fact it's on ITV4. That's an insult. It's a
Spurs versus
time.
Brighton are on that as well the night before.
Just before the Entourage rerun, is it? Well, ITV4.
I do like the idea of Joe Lewis at Spurs having to flick on ITV4 to see his club. I go, that's it, that's it. That's the straw that I'm putting out for fucking sale. That's it.
The first time Bournemouth would have been in the fourth round in their history, but they're yet to concede a goal. Get excited. Crystal Palace versus Hartlepool. That one's on Saturday at 3 o'clock. 5,000 fans making the journey to London from the North East. See, a more convenient kickoff time, Luke.
People My local can, club as well.
People so. Can travel. Hartlepool.
Yeah. No, obviously not.
It's quite a commute.
Yeah. It's quite the commute for me. Yeah.
Pete's going, apparently.
He is, yeah, of course he is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of a shame that this is at Selhurst Park, though, in some respects, yeah. Even though it's more convenient these days for you two. In Hartlepool's last home league game against Stevenage, a number of Meatloaf songs were played in the build-up in tribute to the man because he is famously a Hartlepool fan.
I'm going to take an issue with that. I'll take a couple of Hartlepool-themed issues, if you don't mind.
Please.
One, Meatloaf is a Hartlepool fan. Meatloaf once said he supported Hartlepool on an episode of Soccer AM in 2003.
But have you actually seen him? What he said?
No, I haven't seen what he said.
Aha! He's a proper diehard. He started supporting them because he needed a team before he went on Soccer AM in 2003. They were like, who's your team then? And normally, presumably, people who don't support football at all, they're just like, oh, Liverpool or someone. Tell me one of the big
ones. Usually Aston Villa, but go on.
So, someone biggish. Anyways, I wasn't going to do that.
Tom Hanks.
What I decided to do was just go down the table, all the way down, as far as I could go. Oh, Hartlepool. Yeah. And then he read about Hartlepool, who had once, apparently locals had once drowned a monkey thinking it was a Frenchman.
That's right.
And he was like, mate, I am absolutely fucking it.
It's a lovely story. How many games has he been to?
He said he's called up the manager. He learned the names of all the players.
100 into drowning monkeys. How could I help?
And he followed them ever since.
Yeah, no, it's Meat Loaf. That's my name. That's my name, Meat Loaf. And the second issue I want
to
take.
Just to finish, he told the manager at the time in 2003 that things could only get better because they were down in, I don't know, Division 1, I guess it would have been. And he said things can only get better. Hartlepool are 16th in League 2.
Nothing has changed. I would like to add the second Hartlepool story, the fact that Pete's attending the game. The only two stories I know of Pete going to Hartlepool games is one where he got kicked up the arse so hard by an older boy that he couldn't sit down for a week.
Pete
and the other one was when he lost his dad. His dad got in trouble. I think that was a Hartlepool game.
Like that was about to be a very sad story. You mean he lost him in the crowd? He's not dead.
No, he lost him in the crowd.
Mr. Donaldson is still alive.
Kicked up the arse like he's in the Beano.
Yeah, I know. It's a real Bash Street Kid vibe.
I can just see him like in the air. Like, you know, his arse is higher than his head. Yeah.
Also,
sit down for a week.
This week's also seen a Hartlepool fan in court for punching a police horse prior to the team's national
league
final
against
Torquay
tradition.
United.
That's become a great football tradition now. I don't know, always in the northeast. I don't know why, but it always happens.
Imagine if a horse could be in the arse.
Yeah, could be.
That would be a real
mistake. Could be a great conflation.
Have you seen the size of horse turds? Jesus.
Yeah. You'd have to find Pete's arse as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah, he's got a little boy's bum.
Well, he's had an implant, I thought. That was the whole purpose of yesterday.
Oh, it's right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess it'd take a bit longer. But anyway, Manchester United go up against Middlesbrough on Friday at 8 o'clock. You right there, bitch? Jesse Lingard, there's all sorts of chaos at United still, so I don't know why he's still laughing. Jesse Lingard's gone against Ralf Rangnick. Rangnick said he needed some time to relax after not being transferred to another club. He said no, he never said that, and the club told him to take a bit of time off. This seems like a shambles.
Yeah, I quite admire Rangnick's brazenness in coming in and being quite forthright. But it's twice in the space of 2 weeks that he said things that players have had to come out and clarify.
But to me, that says there's something, it's dodgy within the club. Yeah. Because what sort of club has played, to be confident enough, given that he's supposed to be part of the setup going forward, Rangnick,
yeah,
to be confident enough to come out and say, oh, you know, my manager's a liar, effectively. That's a pretty odd situation.
And to be fair, two players who won't be there at the end of the season in Martial likely and definitely Lingard as well. Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to this. Pogba coming back and Ralph seems to be quite enamoured of him and giving him a new role in central midfield. So we'll see how it goes.
Chris Wilder's made a good start to life at Borough, though, hasn't he? Winning 8 out of 12. He says it's not a sightseeing tour for our players.
Potential fragrance of an upset. Fingers crossed.
Can't wait.
All right, it's time for Betway's Four to Score now. It's the time of the week where we do Betway's Four to Score. Each week, you pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Don't forget, entry is absolutely free. Game number one is Everton v Brentford. Kate, you're up first.
Ugh. Tasty one, this, I think. Brian Mbeumo scored a hat-trick in the previous round of the FA Cup, despite coming on as a sub.
Great
so
fact.
I feel like if he starts, then surely he's going to score first.
I think he probably will start. Game number two is Wolves v Norwich. Vish?
Going for the ginger American Josh Sargent.
Possibly the most unrated footballer in the whole Football Ramble office.
Yes, yeah.
But here's hoping he does the business. Game number three, we've asked our friend Jim to pick. It's Manchester City v Fulham. Here's what he's gone for.
Hello, it's Jim here. Now, I was tempted to go with Alexandra Mitrovic, but I've checked with this cat, and she seems to think that Ilkay Gundogan might be a smart choice. So, at the advice of this cat, I'm going to go for Ilkay Gundogan to score first in Man City against Fulham.
And we didn't take Jim hostage for that voice.
He did sound a little bit as though he was torturing the cat.
Yeah, he's out of breath. What was the cat doing to him?
Ilkay Gundogan, he says, game number 40, Spurs v Brighton. I've gone for Harry Kane. So, in summary, Umburumo, Sargent, Gundogan, Kane. If you want to play, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. And you can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. All right, laptops closed and strap yourself in. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer. It's time for this. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is where I'm fucked.
Okay, then. It's time for Luke's game. It's Kate versus Vish. I'm hosting this week. I wanted another run-up at Vish, but the powers that be said, no, no, no. It's Kate's turn to have a run-up at him, so I'm the host. Kate, I think you got this. I think
it's the first time we've played against each other.
In the spirit,
that's not
of...
true. I beat you. How have you written that out? Have you
when
mind?
Did you beat me?
I think she did beat you back in the day once. Yeah.
Oh, really? I've won so many recently.
That's an interesting insight into that's how his ego's so big, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because he cancels out the losses.
Yeah, I'm racking my brains just for the other reasons. Vish, would the fact that it's FA Cup fourth round make you slightly nervous of an upset?
I don't think they should be anywhere near the top of the football pyramid, and I think it's beneath those clubs that they have to muck in with.
Who, Mace? You mean
yeah,
Mace?
Just but the FA Cup as well. Actually.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Borough are going to take you fucking down.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I like the idea that people listen to this show and go, Vish, I make some good points. Quite a funny guy. At the end, he's going to turn to the world's worst man, though. I'm just waiting for that to happen. Anyway, Kate, you are up first because you are ranked below Vish, who is, we must contractually remind people, the reigning champion.
Oh, my days.
You get to go first, so it's a chance to put some numbers on the boards, as Pusha T would say. Right. First player, play for four clubs.
I know who Pusha T is. Don't look at me like that.
First players, play for four clubs. He's still playing to this very day. And to remind you again, Kate, you get to go first here. He is Adnan Januzaj. Great player to watch when he's on song.
Four is such a difficult number.
I don't think it is. I think you can really get in there early. Get a chance to put some numbers on the boards. As
Why
Pusha
do you not think
say.
It is? What do you mean you don't think it is?
It's nothing to do with what I think. I'm just telling you, I think four is a good number. Last, personally, as a player, I don't want to hear like 15 because it gets my mind in a mess.
All right.
Give me a number.
I can't decide. I think I can do... I'm trying to read Vish here, which is difficult. He's doing that thing he does with his hair.
Yeah.
So if I say two...
Okay. Go for two.
He has to do three.
Vish?
Shit, I think
I can do three.
Fuck, he can do three!
We know how the game works, Kate. Just give us a number. Do you want him to name three or do you want to do four?
Can he actually do three? I'd be very impressed if I could do four, so probably it's safest to go with him.
Okay, Vish, three, please. One at a time. Name me three of the four clubs that Adnan Januzaj has played for.
Oh, he looks cocky.
Sunderland?
That's correct. Loan spell. 25 league appearances.
I'm fucked.
Manchester United.
Started his career there.
Real Sociedad?
He's there at the moment. That's 1-0 to Vish.
Did he play... The one I was going for was Dortmund.
Yeah, he was there on loan. That was his
fourth
club.
I totally forgot that.
Spent a bit of time alone at Borussia Dortmund. That's your four. So United, Dortmund, Sunderland and Real Sociedad.
A little bit of collaboration there. That was nice.
No, that was good, yeah.
He got the point, though.
The point's still the same, yeah. Five clubs for the next player. He's also still playing. He's played for five clubs in total. He will be a name familiar to everyone here and everyone listening. It's Nathan Ake. Nathan Ake. Five clubs for Nathan Ake.
I've got to write something down. That's what I've got to do.
If Vish goes for all five, Kate, there's nothing you can do.
Oh
here.
My God. He's in. I can't. Yeah. Stop commentating badly on this.
You don't
this
have
game.
To keep talking.
I don't.
You
I need to write something down.
I'll take care of the hosting. Don't worry. You've hosted really well up until now. Just
Thanks,
take some time
darling.
Off. Just play.
Now comes the important bit.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll do three clubs.
Three. Kate, do I hear four from you?
I think I can do. Oh, my days, what is wrong with
that? If it were me, I would be going for four here and trying to at least...
All right, fine, I'll go for four.
Yeah, all right, cool. Good stuff. Vish, can you do five?
Yeah, do you four.
Okay, cool. One at a time, Kate. Four clubs that Nathan Ake's played for to tie up at 1-1.
Okay, so Man City.
He's there at the moment.
Chelsea.
Started his career there. That's two.
I'm wondering about some kind of, like an Ajax or something, but I mean, that's not, because I can, Bournemouth, I know.
Yeah, he's been there for, he was there for ages. That's three. One more club. It's one of two to name and you're in business.
Oh, my face hurts. for some reason, I'm thinking Watford.
Very good. That's four.
Mm.
He spent a season on loan at Watford.
Did he play for Ajax?
Quite a well-known loan spell.
No, or one of those lot.
If you let me host it, I'll host it. I can get through it, or we can take longer. It's up to you. He hasn't played for Ajax. He started at Chelsea, loan at Reading, but not for many games. A more famous loan spell at Watford, as you named, and then Bournemouth, and then Man City. So that's one all.
So Reading would have been the other one. Bloody hell.
Exactly. So that's one each. Vish, Kate gets to go first on this next one, but I have to remind you it's one all. 12 clubs for this next player. He's Ooh. Also still playing. In fact, I think every player we've got this week is still playing, so that's interesting. 12 clubs for this next player. If you can name all 12, I'll be very, very surprised. It's Chris Wood. Chris Wood, been in the news recently, but I wouldn't like to go to any more detail than that because that would undermine the spirit of the game. Vish, how many can I have from you?
No, it's me, isn't it?
No, Vish first. Oh, no, it's Kate first. Sorry. Yeah. Apologies, Kate.
Do you want to do the hosting?
Yeah, maybe I should. Touché.
Woo!
Well played. How many do you want to do?
Three,
okay. Vish, do I have four from you?
Yeah, I might as well do four.
Might as well.
No, Kate? I mean, like, I think I'll be, yeah.
You'll be fine, won't you? No.
Five from you, Kate, or not?
No, Vish, do it.
Okay, four clubs, please, Vish. That Chris Wood has played for out of the 12 in total. I have to warn you, contractually obliged to warn you, there are some amateur clubs in here. So if you name one of those, it will not count. An amateur club does not count, nor does a semi-pro club. There have to be pro clubs. Four of the 12, please. One at a time. Away you go.
I'm going to start with the one I'm very unsure of. Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe, you say? That's an interesting place to start. What's the rationale for that?
I know I've got the other three, but the fourth one was...
So you just said Scunthorpe.
So I said, no, but that was the fourth one.
You don't want to build yourself up and then be disappointed. Know, yeah, that was my take as well.
2-1 Mason.
Yeah, right.
Not play for Scunthorpe.
2-1 Mason.
Yeah. Burnley, Newcastle, Leeds United.
Yeah.
They're all fine.
And then...
And they're all the three most recent clubs he's played for.
Blanked.
He started his career at Cambridge FC, which is an amateur club in New Zealand. Then he moved to Hamilton Wanderers, a semi-pro club in New Zealand. Neither of those would have counted. Then you'd have gone Waikato FC, West Brom, Barnsley, Brighton, Birmingham, Bristol City, Millwall, Leicester City, Ipswich, and then the aforementioned Leeds, Burnley and Newcastle.
Maybe Leicester I should have got.
2-1 to Kate with two to play. There's an upset on the cards. We're in the spirit of the FA Cup right here. Vish, you get to go first on this next one. Seven clubs in total. Again, still playing, as I've mentioned. Great player to watch. Enjoyed watching his career over the years. He's played for seven clubs in totality. He is Nani.
Nani.
Yeah. Felt like a bit like he was, because he was Portuguese and all that kind of stuff. I just felt that he was a little bit under pressure in the post-Ronaldo world.
Nani. I'm going to start with three.
Okay, Kate.
I'm going to make him go.
Okay, great, straight away. Three. If you get anything wrong... Anything wrong here, you will lose your title to Kate Mason.
Do you know how pressured this is?
No, I do, yeah.
I wish okay. I could have gone four, but I want him to play.
Okay, fine. Mike takes it with a cider. The listeners win, whatever happens. Three clubs, the seven that Nani's played for, go ahead.
Orlando.
I'll need the full name of the club, I'm afraid.
Orlando City.
Carry on.
Valencia.
He's drunk on power.
Who?
Valencia.
That's correct as well.
Manchester United.
Damn. Also correct. Two all. Don't like the disdain that you questioned me there. Orlando City. Two all.
I thought there was something awry.
We're going down to the decider.
And I was wrong.
Sporting. Manchester yeah. United. Fenerbahce. Valencia. Lazio. Orlando City. and Venezia, where he currently is. There's a couple of other sporting spells in there, but obviously they don't count because it's repetition.
Lucky boy in those kits. I can't believe I couldn't remember that.
I know, that's what, though, yeah. That was dangerous.
Okay, so we're down to a decider. It's 2-2. Kate, you've still got a chance here, and you get to go first. So the initiative is with you.
Right.
Okay, this man has played for 11 clubs, and he's also still playing. He's a goalkeeper. He is Asmir Begovic. It's not easy, this one. I'll be totally honest with you, it's not easy. Go ahead, Kate. What do you think?
Slip my mind where he is now.
You need to make an offer. If you
sorry,
go,
three.
If you have to go
three.
Tactical, you can go tactical. Three, sorry. Okay. Vish?
Four.
Fuck. Okay.
You want to name four?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in your hands, Vish. Of the 11 clubs Asmir Begovic has played for, I'm going to need four from you, Vish, to retain your title. If you get anything wrong, the title goes to Kate Mason in what will be one of the biggest upsets of the season, with due respect to you, Mace. Here we go. Four in a row. Go for it.
So there is one guess in here, and I'll leave it to the end. So Stoke City.
160 league appearances for Stoke City, correct.
Bournemouth.
107 league appearances for Bournemouth, also correct.
Chelsea.
So those were mine.
Yep. Played 19 times in the league for them.
And what the hell is a four?
It all comes down to this.
If you can't, I know, one but out I there, don't. The man who did 10, who did a guess of 10.
That was different though.
You can't even pick out a fourth. People are going to be rioting. People are going to be quite disappointed in you.
Liverpool?
If you can't.
Liverpool, he says, to retain his title and stay champion of Luke's game for another week or perhaps longer. Did Asmir Begovic ever play a game for Liverpool?
Kate Mason wins!
Get in!
Finally, he flew too close to the sun and Kate Mason takes the title in dramatic circumstances from Vish. Asmir Begovic played for Portsmouth, started his career
Portsmouth,
there.
Portsmouth!
It's always
cunt.
Portsmouth, isn't it?
La Louvier, Macclesfield Town, Bournemouth, Yeovil,
Portsmouth.
Ipswich, Stoke, Chelsea, Bournemouth again, Carabag, AC Milan, Everton. Oh played for Bournemouth a few times, actually.
Everton!
The salient fact is this. Kate Mason is a new champion of Luke's game. Well done, Kate. Congratulations to you.
Does that mean I'm the title holder?
It is. You've taken the title. You've taken the title.
I feel so warm inside.
It's great. What a great end to the show.
Ah, guys. I don't really want to get out of here now, but I think we probably should leave Vish to just have a little rest and think about what he's done.
I was tempted to say you've been an honourable champion. That would be bullshit.
No,
you've certainly
no.
been a long-standing champion.
I have,
and for
yeah.
that, you deserve respect.
Yeah. No, I'll take that. Not from her, but I'll take that from you.
My heart rate is so up. If I had one of those monitors, through the roof. Thank you guys so much for listening today. Luke or Andy are going to take me on in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
Big stuff to come for the fans of Luke's game, which presumably if you're still listening, is all of you.
Yeah. So you're playing Andy next week?
No, I'm not in next week. I think maybe the week after.
Okay, there
Stand
we go.
By.
There we go.
Stand by.
Well, I wonder how long you'll have it for.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming, Vish. Say bye to the listeners.
Bye.
Thank you for being so great and such a great game host, Luke.
Thank you. It's very, very happy to be here. It's been a privilege. Goodbye. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, do have a great weekend, you guys. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.